Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome. Today is Monday. Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome to the Accomplish Radio Morning Show. I'm your host, Darlene Willman, the publisher of Accomplish Magazine, and very excited about today's guest on our show. As most of you know, that we actually decided to go with themed radio shows since we broadcast every day. And for the whole month of January, it was a lot of productivity consultants and organizing and goal setters. All kinds of different people were brought on our show back in January. And for the month of February, we've decided to talk about relationships, both business and personal. You know, we find that a successful relationship helps you accomplish a lot of great things in life. So, you know, we're bringing you experts every day on our show that want to share their words of wisdom with you. And, you know, we just want to let people know in our audience that we've been receiving just some great feedback about your experience with Accomplish Magazine and Accomplish Radio Show. And we just want to thank everyone who tunes in and listens to our show and shares it with their friends and their family and the people in their network, you know, letting them know that Accomplish Magazine is out there. And if you haven't, by the way, if this is your first time listening to our show and you haven't either been on our show either listening in the audience or have seen the magazine, we hope that you'll go get your free subscription. It is over at AccomplishMagazine.com. We're working on the next issue, which will be released here very soon. So be keeping your ears and eyes open for that. And also, just want to share a couple of really cool things that have been happening here. We've had close to 17,000 listeners tuning into our show, and I'm just so amazed at how fast things are growing. And, you know, every weekday morning at 10 a.m. Central, which is 11 Eastern and 8 Pacific, you know, our show broadcasts. And if you miss the show, you can actually listen to the replay, which is actually rebroadcast all day on our website. So you can go on to AccomplishMagazine.com and listen to the show again. It's also available in the iTunes community. You know, so those people that are big fans of downloading the MP3 and taking it with you to listen again, you can do that over at iTunes. And another big thing that's coming up here is we'll be celebrating our 100th show. Can't believe it's already been 100. I think that's going to be happening this week, in fact. And you know what? We launched a brand new fan page for Accomplish Magazine and Radio Show. We were using Facebook groups, and we have a great group that's been growing over there. But after bringing on guests onto our show that are social media experts, they all agreed that having a fan page would probably be a good option. So we've got that up and going, and we'd love for you guys to visit that. And if you like us, great. We hope that you'll click on the like button, and we'll keep you posted with all the updates and new things that are happening at Accomplish Magazine and Radio that is just happening so quickly. In fact, we are looking for some very talented individuals that want to be a part of the Accomplish Magazine and Radio family. So if you know of someone that you know, is interested in being involved and wants to have some exposure in Accomplish Magazine, just have them visit our site and check out some of our career opportunities and some of the openings that we have at Accomplish Magazine. So, you know, just to let you know, a few things before we bring on our guest today, because I'm really excited about introducing our guest and letting you know who she is and getting a chance to talk to you. Just want to mention real quick that if you're in the St. Louis area, make sure you check out the new St. Louis Networking Club. You can find it at stlouisnetworking.com, and there's also a new fan page there on Facebook. And take a look and see what's going on with that new club that's developing. So if you've been listening to our show on a regular basis, you know I interview someone new every day and share their words of wisdom, their stories, their tips, their secrets, all these wonderful accomplishments. And, you know, today's guest is a very good friend of mine. Her name is Patty Cook, and she's from the St. Louis area where I'm located at. And she's an executive life coach, a certified Colby consultant, and owner of Life by Design, LLC. And Patty's been helping people transform stress into success since 1992, when she successfully recovered from her own crash and burn episode. And sometimes it's beyond our ability to generate the spark we need to get to where we want to go, and we need the help of an expert. And, you know, Patty's definitely a woman who has risen from the ashes and can help you navigate through those things faster and easier than you can on your own. She's a two-time victor over breast cancer, and Patty has experienced firsthand how quickly and radically life can change its course, and she's very committed to supporting people in living like there's no tomorrow. And she wants you to do that today and stay focused on what's going on. You know, Patty offers personal coaching and corporate training. She does keynote presentations, and all designed to help people ignite their personal power so they can achieve their most imaginative goals and withstand life's greatest challenges and creating success from the inside out. So without any further ado, let me welcome to our show today, Patty Cook.
Good morning, Darlene.
Good morning. It's so great to have you with us here.
Thank you. It is so great to be here playing with you on Accomplish Radio.
Well, first of all, let me say congratulations on overcoming all the stress of breast cancer, not once, but twice.
Thank you. You
truly amaze me. And, you know, the inspiration that you've shared with so many people, you know, I mean, you've probably impacted hundreds, if not thousands of lives because of your experience, your strength and endurance. It's just incredible. And, you know, for you to be able to share yourself so openly that way. And, you know, you've been gifted this expertise to really handle stress in ways that most people don't know how to do. And so it's no surprise to me that you've become such an expert in your field, and so excited to interview you today.
Well, all of the tools that I've been learning and all of the things that I've studied over since 1992, recovering from my own crash and burn, I drew on every single one of those so that I could come through breast cancer again with grace and ease and partnership with people who can love and support me and to help me through. So it's they say something in the military, I think it is. You know the expression, Darlene, that when the going gets tough, the tough get going?
Mm-hmm.
I heard that in the military they say when the going gets tough, the tough fall back on their training.
Mm-hmm.
And so to learn these things and to learn them and teach them, which, you know, anchors the learning so much more powerfully, it allowed me to fall back on all of that when I was going through it and I needed it too. So it just gives me so much energy and so much excitement to be able to help others to have that training and to have those skills to fall back on when they need it. And not only just to use it consciously, but then to be able to fall back on it almost unconsciously when the need is there.
Yeah, that's fabulous. I'm so, you know, I really am looking forward to our time together on our show. And, you know, on today's show, we're actually going to discuss Patty's 10 keys to having a successful relationship. And I thought before we actually jump in, I wanted to first, you know, have you share what made you decide to become a life coach really in the first place?
It was an evolution, actually, Darlene, from when I arose from the crash and burn, and I started learning about the body and that we have to feed the body and so that it can be strong and it feed it good nutrition. And I learned about herbs. I went to work in a health food store. And my story is kind of interesting, and it would be woo-woo to a lot of people. But when I crashed and burned, I vowed that I was going to stop ignoring all of the messages. We get messages, body, mind, and spirit, that guide us, and I overrode them all because I was so driven in my career. And so I vowed that I would start listening. Well, the first thing that happened was I had gallbladder surgery at 37, which was when I had a huge breakthrough that this is not working.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went back to work at 8 o'clock, and I retired at 8:15. Didn't really know I was going to do that. So what I discovered is that things come out of my mouth that I don't know what I'm going to say. That's listening for me. And so that kind of process led me to working in the health food industry where I could learn about that. Out of that, I became a massage therapist and a Reiki master because I needed to learn that you have to know how to relax the body too.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of that experience for the last 18 years or whatever, we would sit and talk about life before they would ever get on my table. And I realized that I have a gift for listening through the drama, through the story, through, you know, all of those the of life to what's really important to people. And so I thought, you know, this is a service that I could offer separate from body work, separate from anything else, to help people get their minds in the right place so that they can then take charge of their life, so that they can then move forward with momentum and keep the spark and not have that spark dampened by life, but that they can keep reigniting it.
You know, I really want to set the stage from the very beginning here on, you know, how can our listeners truly get the most of what you're going to share with us today?
The best way to use the information that I will share with you today is to stop right now and pick one single relationship in your life, whether it be personal, whether it be professional, it doesn't make any difference. Just pick a relationship that you would like to improve. And I encourage you to do that too, Darlene, because it'll help our conversation. Because what happens is it allows you then to take this material from an intellectual understanding, like, oh, that's a good idea, to, hey, I can actually use this. And here's how I would use this in the relationship that I'm in. So there's power there in being able to integrate the material instead of it just being an intellectual understanding.
You know, I'm trying to think of, you know, a particular relationship because, as you know, Patty, I love being with people. I mean, it's just...
Yes, you do.
You know, I can't help it. I want to know all about them, and I want to find out what makes them tick and how I can help and, you know, to really be involved with other people in their life and where they're going. And
it's one of the
gifts that you
have.
So many relationships to think of that I'm going, okay, which one would I try? And, you know, I mean, obviously, my most important relationships are, you know, with my spouse, with my children. They always take priority with most things. So maybe I'll be thinking about those types of relationships first, because I think a lot of stuff happens at home, and we bring that into the world with us. You know, no matter where you go, what business you're in or what company you work for, you know, if things at home aren't going as smooth, then I think you take that into your job with you. So, but, you know, let's talk about some of your success tips that you've created with this. I love how you've kind of clearly defined, you know, each one of these. And, in fact, you talk about defining success. I think that's a really big piece of whatever relationship that you're going to be focusing on, right?
It actually is, because if we don't know what success looks like, feels like, then we never know when we've gotten there, and we don't have that benchmark to work towards. So whatever the relationship is that you're focusing on or our listeners are focusing on, you want to, what does success look like? What does it feel like? What are the qualities of it? You want to create a vision that is so inspiring that it just has you working toward it naturally. And relating with that person from the place of that vision. So in a loving relationship, maybe if it's a relationship in your family, your spouse or a child or something like that, boyfriend, girlfriend, you can look at what would success look like in that relationship. What are the ways it will be with each other? How will I treat them? How will they treat me? What kind of things will we do? What will our environment look like? You want to look at every area around it and define what would success look like, because it helps you attract it, and it also helps you recognize it when you see it.
That's really good.
You ever know
good.
People that, you know, nothing is ever enough? You know, no matter how wonderful it is, there's always more, right? It's always, you know, well,
the
you
grass
know,
is greener
great,
on the other side.
That's really great, but, you know, or with a child, you know, you got 7 A's and 1 B, and the focus is on the B, you know, instead of, you know, being an honor roll student or whatever the design is or whatever that vision is that you have with your child. So having that definition of success and what that looks like uniquely to you is very, very powerful tool to begin.
That's fantastic, because it makes a lot of sense to really, you know, get that vision, you know, clearly defined.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it makes so much sense to, you know, sometimes we don't even think about it enough to realize, well, what does that really mean for me? So what you're asking people to do is kind of slow down for a minute and take the time to clearly picture what it is that they're wanting to achieve. You know, your second, you know, part of this, your keys to successful relationships is you talk about look for the gold. So tell me about that.
The law of the universe is that what you focus on expands. what you look at, what you pay attention to, gets stronger and it gets bigger. Whatever, wherever we put our energy, that's where life goes. And so when we look for the gold in the other person, we look for what's right, we look for what's working, it allows us to actually see more of it. If we're looking at what's wrong with the relationship, which I hear so many people do, they're so critical, 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 critical all the time, that pretty soon that's all they can see is the critical things. I have this situation with my own mom that we had had a trying experience when I was a young girl, that I actually moved out of the house when I was 18 and held grudge for, gosh, until the last 6 years of her life. I mean, it was a long time. And it got to where all I could see in her was her critical nature. All I could see was the negative things, because that's what I was focused on. And I had a huge breakthrough that allowed me then to see her for who she really was, which was a woman who loved me with all of her heart, who had a fantastically wicked sense of humor that I so appreciated, a work ethic that never stopped, you know, a sense of commitment and responsibility that I had just lost sight of because my focus was on what was wrong. And pretty soon that's all I could see. And
yeah,
so
it's bad when that happens too.
It is awful. And the example that I give when I'm teaching is to imagine a picture window that has a thumbprint on it. It has a smudge. And you look at the smudge and you see the smudge. And then it's like bigger. It's like you're closer to it and the smudge is bigger. And you focus on the smudge and there's a smudge and the smudge is bad. It's bad that you go, right? And then pretty soon all you can see is the smudge. And so when you can balance that gratitude and appreciation, the gold in the window, you can back up and see all of the beautiful things. And, oh, by the way, there's a smudge, which has to be dealt with, but it is no longer the singular focus of the window.
Yeah, that makes so much sense because, you know, it is it's a matter of perception and that awareness, you know, what we're really truly looking at. And, you know, I know that a lot of people move through life so quickly and that they do just, I think it's our natural, you know, it's something that we're unconsciously doing when we look at the smudge, right, for example.
Mm-hmm,
it's just something
mm-hmm.
we don't realize. It's just a natural tendency, and it's almost like what you're sharing with us is a flip side to that. You're making us, you know, change that natural thing and make it a different natural course so that, you know, there'll be people that would look at the window and never even see the smudge, wouldn't even
mm-hmm.
notice it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
So,
a key distinction that could help here, Darlene, is mm-hmm. that every strength is a double-edged sword. So if mm-hmm. it's in the on position all the time, it can become a detriment to us. So critical thinking is what helps us be successful. We're always looking for what's the better way, what's a better pathway, how can I do this differently to get a better result. Critical thinking is crucial. It's not a bad thing. But it's when it's on all the time that we end up focused on the negative and get into that negative spiral. So if we can balance that with gratitude and appreciation, then we have the opportunity to bring it into balance. Not that we're ignoring what needs to be dealt with. It's not a Pollyanna attitude at all. It's really about balance.
Hmm. Yeah. We always struggle for that balance all the time in a lot of areas in life. I know I do.
Well, we're always coming back into balance, right? Because, you know, we're always in and out of balance. And so we're always striving to get back to it, absolutely.
Wow. You know, and your top three is, well, I don't know if these are in any type of order per se.
Order's
are they
perfect.
Are they pretty, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you talk about the letting them know that they matter. I am assuming it's the person or the relationship, whoever you're intimate with or trying to get closer to strengthen
mm-hmm.
that relationship, really letting them know that they mean a lot.
How many movies are out there where it's a father and a son? And the son doesn't think that the father loves him because he never says, I love you. He never hugs. He never demonstrates, right? Never mm-hmm. says it out loud. And so it's so important to us as human beings to get positive feedback. It's actually crucial to our health and well-being and our feeling of really being good enough in the world. And so what I find with a lot of people is that, well, yeah, I love them. I really appreciate them, whether it's an employee or, you know, someone in their personal life, but they don't really say it out loud. They don't. Hmm. They just assume that they know, and they do on some level, but we need to hear it. We need to hear mm-hmm. it. And so it's so important that we say, hey, this really mattered to me, and here's why. So I run into this a lot with people in the workplace is they'll say, good job, to an employee. which is a good thing. It's saying it out loud. But there's a piece that's missing, and that is, why did it matter? What difference did it make? So, wow, great job. That report that you did really helped me to see the big picture where I needed to see it so that I could make the decision I needed to make. Now, that's a fulfilling out loud, right? So we can train ourselves to communicate in a way that we're saying these things out loud authentically from, and then letting that out and be expressed to them.
Yeah, having them know that they matter is a critical element. I know that that's you can't just assume that people know. You know, my mom, it was one of those things that there was always, you know, we assumed the relationship was there. And, you know, towards the end of her life, we couldn't tell each other enough how much we loved each other, you know. And I think that's, and now looking back, it's like we know that that was a given and that they really mattered a lot, and she mattered to me. But, you know, I think if I had a chance to do it all over, I would do it different. You know?
You would say it more often. You would say it more out loud, wouldn't you?
Oh, I would show her so much more appreciation. You know, it's in hindsight that we see that. And it's brought a heightened awareness to me in my own relationships with my own children, you know, so that I can change the course and make sure that it doesn't duplicate itself again, you know, and make that kind of a true thing with my own kids.
Perfect.
Are you talking? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry. I know you lost your mom recently, and what a dear and loving relationship that was. And I know the loss was very hard for you. And to take a lesson like that away from it, that you can then give to your children, it's a beautiful thing that came from it.
It is, you know. And I know that my children will carry it on to their children now. You know,
absolutely.
It's like, it's changed the course of events enough to where it's brought it heightened awareness, you know, to me to know to take a different course of action. You know, and your next thing talks about walking your talk, you know, and that's so important in just truly stepping into that role and standing behind what you say and being a part of, you know, that same cycle. You want to talk about that, walking your talk?
I do. Gandhi said that you need to be the change you wish to see in the world. Because we have it kind of mixed up in our minds. We think that, well, as soon as they do this, then I'll do that. And what Gandhi is telling us is that we have to do it first. So if you want respect, then you need to respect. If you want understanding, you need to be the first one to seek understanding. If you want love, you have to be the first one to love. If you want forgiveness, be the first one to forgive. And we tend to wait until the other person does it, but the power really lies in being that. And there's a lot of times that there's a disconnect in a double standard, or, you know, that I say this, but I do that. And so we can realign with, you know what, I'm walking my talk. If I say that this is important, then I'm living that too.
Yeah, I know you're a big fan and firm believer of the core values, and you and I have had, you know, other discussions around that because, you know, if your core values aren't in alignment, you know, then it is hard to, you know, be completely authentic and truly walk your talk, you know. And you're right, that could happen very easily where you're saying one thing and yet doing another. You know, a lot of people, that happens, you know. People tend to struggle with that because they're not truly, you know, in full alignment.
Exactly. A perfect example is I run into many people who, for which family is a core value. Family is crucial to them and their happiness, but they work 80 hours a week. And so their actions, there's a disconnect between what they say is important, family's important, but I'm choosing to spend 80 hours a week working and away from my family. And so there's, when we're not true to our values, when we're not true to who we really are, that's when stress happens. If we're not true to our vision, if we're not true to our values, if we're not aligned with our natural strengths, stress happens. And so that's part of walking the talk, Darlene. You hit it right on the head, is that discover what your values are. And if our listeners, any are interested, you can email me at Patty, P-A-T-T-Y, at pattycook.com, and I'll send you a core values exercise that will allow you quickly to get to your top five so that you can start aligning your life with them and your life, your work, everything.
Oh, yes,
powerful
it's very
tool.
Powerful stuff. I love that. And, you know, it leads me into, you know, one of your next ones talks about taking care of yourself. And, you know, that taking that step to actually email Patty and request that information is a part of taking care of yourself first, you know, so that you can take care of others. And it's kind of like that same analogy with, you know, if you're in the plane and it's going to crash, right, and then all of a sudden the oxygen pops out of the overhead compartment, you know, if you're trying to get everybody else to get oxygen and then you run out, what good are you going to be able to do for anybody else? So,
perfect analogy. It's a perfect analogy. If we're not taking care of ourselves, we cannot care for others. And I put an equation to it, actually. So to me, the equation of service is self plus others in perfect balance. Hmm. On the other hand, in my definition of a martyr, is others at the expense of self. So there's many of us that fall into that martyrdom that we give and we give and we give and we give at expense to ourselves. We're depleted. We're, you know, without so that other people can have it. And that's not service. Service is we take care of ourselves and we take care of others, but it's in a good balance, a good healthy balance.
Hmm.
There are situations where,
right?
Say it again?
It's almost self-sacrificing.
It is self-sacrificing, absolutely.
Absolutely,
well said.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And sometimes, though, in our life, we all have needs. We have needs, and I have a client in particular who has a need for recognition. It's very important that she get that positive feedback. It feeds her, and she knows that she needs it, but her boss can't do it. That's not how they're wired. I say that you can't get milk at the hardware store, right? Sometimes some people just can't give us that thing that we need, and so we need to find another way to get it. So if recognition is what we need, then we find another way to get it in a healthy way so that we're not trying to force other people or we're not acting weird trying to get attention, you know, or acting inappropriately to get attention that we need. So to identify what those needs are, and I also have a needs analysis that you can take if you email me too, and it can help you identify what those are so you can make sure that they're met, because then you're coming from a powerful place of strength and power so that you can be present in the world and not driven by these needs.
Boy, you know, you really are talking about something here that so many people struggle with, especially women. I mean, and I know men deal with this too in their own way, but women tend to be such caregivers on a regular basis. And I know, you know, personally myself, I have to make sure that everybody else has what they need. And then if there's anything left, you know, maybe. But I have to make sure that everything else is taken care of. And I really, truly struggle with, okay, what can I do to go out and recharge my spirit and fill my tank, you know, and and spending that quality time that, you know, going out and getting a massage is so critical. And feeling those things of, you know, every once in a while, you know, I have to get out in nature, you know, because I'm either on the phone, I'm with people, or I'm online, I'm on the computer, or I'm with the family and that kind of stuff. And yet I don't have enough time of solitude, and I truly crave that every once in a while. I guess I need to make a date with myself, huh?
You do. You know, we just put it in your calendar, but you're so right that we tend to put ourselves last. What I found was that when I crashed and burned in my construction career, I learned so many lessons. And when I met Eric, my boyfriend who has young children, they're now only 11 and 14, what I realized is I was falling into that same trap of self-sacrifice. Of the giving, giving, giving at expense of myself. And so I wrote the Mother's Creed, which is on my website. And it's about, you know, to be the woman that I want to be, I will, boom, 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 you know, to do these things. So go to my website. It's free on there. And read the Mother's Creed. It's just got wonderful tips and tools about how to stay in balance and how to put yourself first so that you can really be there wholeheartedly. Because what happens is we end up being resentful. When we give too much, we end up resenting, and we don't want to come from there. Whenever we give, we want to make sure that it's wholehearted and that it really is from that place of joy.
Mm, that's good. Thank you. I'll have to go check that out because, that, you know, like I said, I've got a lot of friends of mine that are moms that are trying to handle a lot with their their job or their business or whatever, and they do put themselves last. Well, let's switch a little bit here, but and talk about, you know, taking things personally, because that can be a huge challenge in a relationship, because you do tend to look at yourself and possibly put the blame on you, whether it is or it isn't truly the blame, and taking it very personally and getting your feelings hurt, right?
Exactly. I have a scientific statistic, but my statistic is that 9 times out of 10 it isn't personal, but 9 times out of 10 we take it as if it were. So life happens, we take it personally, and that has us react in a certain way. I tell a story, in fact, I was with my brother last night at Super Bowl, and I actually told him that I tell a story about you when I talk about this, so I told him the story so that when he listens to this, he won't be surprised. But mm-hmm. I had an opportunity with Fox 2 News a couple of years ago, and they did a segment on life coaching, and they interviewed me and about 6 of my clients, very well done. So I had the family over to listen to it and to see it because I was so excited to share it with them. And my brother is a very witty man with a kind of an edgy, sarcastic sense of humor. And when he finished, you know, I'm like, well? And he said, well, the camera adds 10 pounds. How many cameras were on you anyway? And I'm like, what? Are you kidding me, really? I was furious. In that moment, I was so angry. It was like, and I took it totally personally. And I drew upon this knowledge that really it usually isn't. And it wasn't. It was just him being goofy him, you know. And so in that moment, I was able to say, well, what if this wasn't personal? And it shifted in a second. And we ended up having the best family day when I was going to leave until I realized it was my house. So to be able to shift it in the moment, just asking yourself that question, what if this wasn't personal? Then you can look at it from a whole different perspective and come up with new creative ideas of how to interact with someone because you're not coming from that reactive place of a hurt feeling. So there are times that it is personal.
Not being
absolutely,
so defensive.
But most of the time it isn't. What's that, Darlene?
And not being so defensive, you know.
Exactly.
When I was growing up, I come from a family of 5, and everybody's older. I'm the youngest in our family. And my brother and I always had sort of a strained sort of relationship because he was the baby of the family for 8 years. And then I came over, you know, I came into the world, and I was like, hello, you know, and all of a sudden he lost that, you know, he's completely spoiled, rotten, yeah. And so, in fact, he's the only boy out of all of us, and when I was born, he told my mom to put her back, I want a brother. Yeah, you know, so, and it's like in all, you know, growing up all through our life, you know, there were so many things that were probably his way of reacting to get attention that I took very personally, you know, and we had such a weird relationship until later on in life where we figured it out, you know, now we're very close, but we had a very unique, you know, upbringing. The family dynamics of, you know, who's oldest, who's the middle child, who's younger, you know, those kind of intricate, you know, relationship dynamics are really different. And, I'd like to see how some of these, you know, principles, these 10 keys to having a successful relationship, if these were implemented within the family, you know, how that might actually look and what people can do. You know, I was and I know you actually recommended to me the book of the 5 love languages.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm really excited about interviewing Dr. Gary Chapman on our show here. He's going to be, I think, our last interview of February. In fact, he's on the 28th. Anyway, we have such, you know, interesting feelings around the whole love languages side that I started thinking, you know what, if each one of us in our family, we took the online little test that he shares, if each one of us were to talk their language and not take it so personally, then maybe we'd all get along even better than where we are now.
That's a really great example. I refer that book all the time for adult relationships, and he's also written for teenagers and for kids, which is hugely valuable. And it does help us to speak into what the other person needs. So it's I was working with a woman who said that, oh, you know, my husband and I, we've read the book, we both did the test, and, you know, mine is this and his is this, but he's not interested in doing any work around it. And I said, okay, that's fine. How about for the next 2 weeks, you speak his language. Don't tell him you're doing it. Just speak his language and see what happens. And the next week she comes to me and says, oh, my gosh, he's asking me on dates, which is what she wanted, you know, because he felt full. He felt full of love because it was spoken to him in a language that he needed to hear. And it is a perfect, perfect tool. I will definitely be tuning in with him because it is very powerful work that simplifies a lot of relationships and helps you to see that you're loved, but sometimes it's just not spoken in a language that you're getting.
A very, very strong, powerful stuff in that book. And, you know, I highly suggest that people, you know, take a look at that. And, you know, what Patty has done all of her life is really perfected her craft. You know, she's used a lot of different resources and tools, and, you know, she's done a lot of the work. She's studied a lot of the things. She's read the books. She's attended the workshops. She's become certified. She's continuing to become better and better, stronger and stronger, and really developing her expertise. So I hope those of you that are listening in our audience, you're hearing from Patty Cook right now, and you know, you can go to her website, pattycook.com, and look at some of the things that she's talking about here. I mean, we've only discussed, you know, about six of the 10 keys to having a successful relationship with Patty. And I know that our interview will be over very soon, but I hope that you will continue to stay connected with Patty and get to know who this woman is. She's just amazing. So, sorry, I kind of got off track there, Patty, just for a minute, but I truly wanted people to know that they need to really follow what you're doing because you've been there, you've done that, you know. In fact, you've written part of a book on this recently.
Mm-hmm,
aren't you part of the 7 Points of Impact
book? I am,
yes. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So many wonderful people are involved in that book. I can't wait to see more of the details on that and actually read your chapter. I can't wait.
Thank you.
Anyway, let's talk about passion. You know,
be
having
passionate.
Passion in a relationship. Yeah.
Yeah, be passionate. And part of this is about being authentically you. So I network a lot, and in fact, that's where Darlene and I met, because Darlene is one of her gifts is bringing people together. So that she has Accomplished Magazine, Accomplished Radio, no surprise to me, because who she is somebody who brings people together and helps them share resources, helps them connect. It's just part of who you are, Darlene. So your passion is really clearly expressed. And in a relationship, whether it's a professional one or a personal one, we have to be authentically ourselves. And we talked about this just a little bit ago, about that when we're not true to our values, when we're not true to our vision or our strengths, that's where stress happens. Well, there's a man that I would see month after month at these networking things. And there was just something that just felt off. I just didn't get it. He's, you know, he was in the suit and the tie and, you know, and all this kind of stuff. Well, after about 4 months, we were talking, and I realized he's goofy. Like, he is goofy, funny, goofy. But he's trying to be this persona of this serious businessman, right? And so there was a disconnect because he wasn't really letting who he was be expressed. And so I said to him, I said, you are a goofy guy. You need to find a way to include that, you know, to let that personality come through, to let that passion for fun infiltrate your business. And I think that you'll see a huge difference in the level of success that you experience. And he did. Because people can sense, even if they can't put their finger on what is the inauthenticity, it's a tough word, authenticity, if they can't put their finger on, we sense it. We sense that there's something there. And so for him to be able to express his passion for the inane in life and stop trying to force himself to be someone else, then he was able to blossom much faster and much more powerfully than he could have before.
Mm-hmm.
So let that passion come out. And we tend to, what I saw in myself is that I would look at you, Darlene, for example, and I would say, well, Darlene is very successful, and what she's doing is this, so I should go do that. But what I finally saw was that you were being successful because you were being authentically you.
Mm-hmm.
And the best way that I can be successful is to be authentically me. And so if I let my
passions,
if I let my passions be expressed, that has me be attractive to people and opportunities. Just like when you're authentically you, it has you attractive to opportunities and people as well. So we got to be ourselves out there.
Absolutely. And you know what? I'm actually going to mention Facebook, because Facebook is a place that I absolutely love. I think it's a great way to share and express those things when you physically can't be, you know, connected to people. And, you know, to let people know that Facebook is a place that you share yourself as you're growing. And it's the friendships and it's the relationships. It's the, you know, the personality that should come through in your Facebook, you know, so any of your social networking for that matter. It's social. That's the reason why it's called social networking, you know.
It's funny how that is.
Yeah. But, you know, it's amazing how you can, you know, truly sense and see someone who is very passionate about the things that they talk about, the things they tweet about, the things that they write about, they talk about. So that's perfect. I like that, to be very passionate about what you do. And then you, number eight is your seek first to understand. And you actually mentioned this a little earlier in our show. And so I thought we'd go into a little bit more detail about that, because that's so important.
There's a quote by Robert McCloskey that I just love, and it says, "I know you believe you understand what you think I said, but I'm not sure you realize that what you heard is not what I meant." So many times people say things and they think that it's very clear, but how it lands on the other end is not what you meant to say. And so oftentimes when there's an upset between two people, there's really just some kind of a miscommunication. There's some kind of a crossed wire. And instead of jumping in to make that other person wrong, if we can come from a place of, let me seek to understand what they really meant, or seek to help them understand what I really meant, then there's ground that can be gained there. There's, you know, a peaceful resolution that can happen instead of being in conflict with one another.
Oh, absolutely. And think of how that works, because in a relationship, the word relate is in there, and it's how you relate to one another. And it's like, if you're saying one thing and the other person is hearing something totally different, you know, and I know that happens a lot. I mean, you know, miscommunication, and, you know, they took it the wrong way or it was expressed the wrong way. And I like that. If you look first at how you can understand someone else versus, why don't they understand me, right?
Or
my poor sister struggles with that a lot, you know.
Who does?
My sister.
Does she?
Yeah, well, you know, you have a conversation with her, and she's trying to get a point across. The other person may acknowledge it, and yet if she doesn't feel as though you truly heard what she was trying to say, she'll continue to repeat it and get louder. And it's like, you know, and we're like, okay, we get it. And it's like, and if it's just not to her satisfaction, that it just keeps on building. And, you know, trying to make sure that there's that two-way communication.
What a perfect example. A perfect example, because I think sometimes we believe that understanding means accepting. But to understand where she's truly coming from doesn't mean you have to agree with her. But to let her know that you understand then allows her to let go and open up a little bit. Because like you said, until she felt heard, she couldn't let it go. So there was no room for another idea to get in there, was there?
No.
Absolutely not.
It ends there until we say, you know what, let's pick this up tomorrow.
Exactly. And so if you can acknowledge and appreciate where they are and what their understanding is, then they don't have to hold on so tight. They don't have to dig in so deeply to make their point. Then there's an opening for something else to happen. But again, like I said earlier about, you know, Gandhi and being the change we wish to make, we've got to take the first step and seek to understand them so that we've got a broader understanding, for one thing, and then on the other end for them, that they feel heard enough, that they feel safe enough to let in another idea.
Yeah, it has to be more of an official confirmation. It got it loud and clear, but it doesn't
mean it's out loud.
You have to acknowledge.
Right.
Yeah, it's just about the acknowledgement, you know, that they just want to be known that they were heard. But, you know, I think you're right. It's like if we don't agree, they continue to say, but no, you're not hearing me. It's like, it's almost like until you say, okay, now I'm on your side.
I understand where you're coming from. I see what you mean.
Yeah.
I see what you mean is a very simple statement that allows somebody to feel heard. I see what you mean. I understand. I hear what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And then they
and that
kind of
goes
okay,
into
cool.
the let it be concept, too, with you're having the whole, you know, if people can't get to that point that, you know, I always talk about bless and release. There's something about that, you know, that feeling of, you know what, I love you no matter what, and I'm okay to let it go.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So let it be, which is the number 9 here, is it works on both levels. It works for us. I think we take life way too seriously, honest to God. I mean, there are serious things about life, but I think in general we tend to take it way too seriously. And so if we can let it be our own foibles, we can let go of, you know, other people's. If we can let go of our own, embrace our own human foibles, our own human weaknesses, then it gives us a lot of compassion for other people, too. And we can help understand and appreciate and release theirs, too. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it definitely makes sense.
So,
yeah,
you know, I
letting
know that
go.
I am not perfect. I have people that say, what do you mean you had a meltdown? You're a life coach. And yes, I do. I have meltdowns. Cancer 2 times? Yeah. Life in general? Yeah. You know, I'm going to have meltdowns. But I'm very resilient now, where it might be minutes, it might be an hour, never longer than a day, you know, that I can turn it back around again. But a lot of it is just allowing myself to experience what I experience instead of trying to be something that I'm not. You know,
instead
if I were
to
go out there in the world and say, well, I'm a love coach and I know it all, I never have any breakdowns, I wouldn't have a client. I wouldn't have a single client.
You're like, sure, Patty, I get it.
Nobody's like that. You know, I'm on the path with every client that I have. I'm on my path, too, and I think that there's great appeal there. But letting it be, allowing myself to have my human weaknesses and to own them and appreciate them, it helps me to cut people some slack, you know, that, you know what, they're not perfect either, and they make mistakes, too. And then it allows communication to open.
That's perfect. You know, and your final success key here for successful relationships is say it so they can hear it, which, you know, kind of relates back to the whole concept of what we were talking about with my sister, you know. But maybe it's our way of, you know, I don't know, tell me more about what you would say in that situation where, you know, if she was trying to communicate something, maybe that's where there was that part where we didn't really truly get it.
Yeah. So if, for one thing, if we're silent, that's not saying it so they can hear it. If we're yelling, they can hear it, but they can't let it in. So communication, it needs to be direct and it needs to be kind, always, with respect and a willingness to listen and understand. So the biggest... My clients are free to call or email me anytime. I never want them to be stuck in life. And I'd say about 90% of the emergency calls that I get are around a relationship and around some kind of a communication. Because face it, relationships are the core of everything that we do. And so, you know, they'll say, oh, I've got to have this tough conversation with so-and-so, that here's what happened, and, you know, and I don't know how that's going to go. And so we look at how can you communicate this in a way that they can actually hear it and not throw up their defenses and not throw up the walls and not, you know, dig in just out of reaction. How can we communicate it in a way that they can really hear it? So one way to do it is to come from your values. So whatever those values are that you discover in the exercise, how can I bring those to it? So if harmony, which is one of my values, how can I bring harmony to it? Beauty is another one of mine. How can I see the beauty in the situation that doesn't look really beautiful when you think about it on the surface? But to look for it, and how can I bring that to it? How can I bring who I truly am from a place of respect and a willingness to listen and understand? Then it can be a conversation where it's actually a conversation. So until we can speak, until other people can really get it, then there isn't real communication.
Wow, these have been really good, Patty. I am so glad you were able to share these with us, you know, and for those of you that are listening, I'll just go ahead and repeat these real quick so that we know that just kind of the outline and where Patty kind of went through some of this. So number one was to define success, and number two was look for the goals. Number three is let them know they matter. Four is walk your talk. Five is take care of yourself. Six is don't take it personally. Seven is be passionate. Eight is speak first to understand. Nine is let it be. And 10 is say it so they can hear it. These are wonderful. Patty, thank you again for being here with us on the Accomplished Radio Show. You know, we're almost at the end of our broadcast today, and, you know, I wanted to ask you just a couple of other, you know, questions here along the way. And, you know, I want to know what your plans are for 2011 and how we at Accomplished Magazine and Radio, how our audience and our network and our friends, how we can support you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Probably the biggest goals that I have this year are around writing, around getting my ideas and all of these things that I've studied and developed over the years out to more people. So you mentioned the, you know, being a part of the 7 Points of Impact book that really lit a fire under me to work on my own book. So I'll be writing more articles. I'll be writing more that can then become chapters in my book. So writing is a big part of it. Speaking, I want to get in front of audiences that want to learn how to reignite their spark, that want to learn about relationships, that want to learn about creating energy or those things that can help them transform stress into success. So just to get in front of more people so that more people can have access to valuable tools that they can use to have a life that they're happier in and have less stress in. So that's where I want to play.
That's fantastic. And why don't you go ahead and share how they can connect with you, Patty, so that people can follow up and get to know you, or if they have any recommendations or, you know, things that they want to share with you direct?
Sure, absolutely. My website, as Darlene mentioned, is Patty, P-A-T-T-Y, Cook, C-O-O-K.com. If you sign up for my weekly Spark, you'll get these 10 keys to great relationships. And if you would like it in a physical form, you can email me at patty@pattycook.com with your mailing address, and I'd be happy to drop them in the mail. And I have a couple of others. I have one on the Spark process and on de-stress in 5 minutes or less, different tools and tips that you can keep on hand. Some people like to have something they can hold in their hand. A great resource is there. If I can ever be of any help to anyone, just drop me a line and we'll figure out how that could look.
That's perfect. Again, Patty, this has been a wonderful show. I'm so glad you've been here with us and had a chance to share all of your words of wisdom, and your personal experience and your endurance speaks volumes. And, you know, for those of you listening in the audience, you know, definitely connect with Patty. And, you know, I think perhaps if she can, she might also offer some of our listeners here today just a short little coaching session one-on-one. Are you doing those still, Patty? Or
absolutely. We just do it by phone. Just take a few minutes to experience a coaching process to see if it's something that would be a fit. So my goal in those is to let you experience it, to have value in and of itself, and to figure out some next steps that make sense, whether that's working with me or not. Okay. So you can call me at 636-861-9100, or you can reach me through my email.
That sounds perfect. You know, we're almost at the end of our show. Is there anything else that you might want to share before we wrap it up today?
I just am in such gratitude to get to come and play with you today, Darlene. I'm always jazzed by what you're up to. I love how you are so committed to providing value for people and giving them an opportunity to share what they know with your listeners, and that you're so committed that your listeners have an opportunity to listen. And I do hope people will take advantage of your networking organization, because you really are masterful at bringing great minds together and people together. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. You're so sweet. So glad that we're friends. You know, I've always enjoyed, you know, our friendship, and I love watching, you know, the woman that you have become, because you've changed through the years, and you've, you know, you really have risen through the ashes. I mean, for you to endure the things that you've been through and still be on top and still be so passionate and successful, I just love your radiant personality and all the love that you share. You're awesome. You're awesome.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, listen, for the rest of you that are tuning into our show today, thank you so much for being here. If you liked our show, make sure you click the little like button that's on our website. Actually, it's on AccomplishRadio.com. There's a little button that says follow us. You click on that and you'll start receiving the reminders of our upcoming shows and get a chance to listen to some of the other guests that we bring on. In fact, there'll be more experts coming out on relationships, again, both personal and professional, for the entire month of February. And just mark your calendar each weekday morning at 10 a.m. Central. Start your day with us and listen as these people truly get, you know, focused and clear on how they can help support you. And if you'd like to be considered a guest on our show, simply send in a radio show request. It's located on our website. Again, that's at AccomplishMagazine.com. You just click on the little radio tab. And by the way, if you're an author and you'd like for me to review your book on the air, I'd be happy to do that. We do ask that you send us a copy so that we can have it in our hands while we're actually doing the interview. It makes life so much easier. And, of course, autographed copies will get special consideration. Anyways, just kidding. So, again, so excited about all the great things that are happening and where we're headed with Accomplish Magazine and Radio. And we hope that you'll tune in and, you know, get the magazine, listen to our shows, and share us with people that you know. And, again, this is Darlene Willman. I'm your host for today's show, wishing you a lifetime of accomplishments. Thanks for joining us.